What's up, everyone? It's Jay Ray, the co-host of Q Points, and one really important way that you can support our show is by subscribing to it wherever you listen to podcasts. Q Points is pretty much everywhere. One of those places where you can subscribe, and we highly encourage it, is on Apple Podcasts. If you visit qpnt.net/Apple Podcasts, you could subscribe to the show and listen to all of the episodes. And please, please, please leave us 5 stars because you know you love Q Points, and leave us a review. We really want to hear from you, and it helps to spread the word about the show. It's that simple. Thanks so much for tuning into Q Points, and thank you so much for supporting us. Have a great one.
Yeah, you know, every time I see that opening reel, it makes me think of one of those like In Living Color sketches where it's like homeboys from outer space, or you know, the Homeboy Network, where you know, everything was just all breakbeats in the intro and whatnot. I love
dancing
it.
I love it.
Dancing real hard. Shout out again to DJ Johnny Dynamite again, who's and just if you're in the Atlanta area this Sunday, come on out to the iLounge in the East Atlanta Village, because Vinyl and Vibes is back.
The city, come through.
Events, we wide back. Open. Events, concerts, we back. We in there. You know, so Vinyl and Vibes is back. You know, it's a free event. Hit up Johnny Dynamite on Instagram so you can find out, or Vinyl and Vibes on Instagram so you can find out more about the event coming up this Saturday. But Jay Ray, it's time for what? For Q Points.
Q Points.
As I said, that's Jay Ray. I'm DJ Sir Daniel. This is Q Points. Remember, you can always catch up with us every week because we come here, we talk about everything music oriented and music related. We want to have meaningful dialogue about the global impact of Black music. Tell them where they can find us, Jay Ray.
They can find us everywhere. So not tell, but you can tell us stuff too. You can tell us stuff, yes, by emailing us at qpointstheshow. That's the letter Q, pointstheshow@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at qpoints and on Facebook and Twitter at qshow.
And you know, we're finally out of Mercury retrograde.
It doesn't feel that was like the one.
Well, you know, after it's finished, there's still a little shadowing after it's done. But I got to tell you, this morning I woke up and it was so clear to me how this show was going to run. And I have to be honest with you, I got a little emotional preparing for this show, because today we're talking about second chances. We're talking about comebacks. Yes. And as someone who, you know, I consider myself a late bloomer all my life. You know, as someone who has made attempts to get in the music industry, to work in radio, the whole DJing thing. Matter of fact, I started, a friend of mine and I, we started podcasting back in 2008.
Yeah, before, y'all are like OGs of podcasting.
Before the whole boom happened, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, to me, this is a second chance, what we have going on here. And so it made me really grateful and insightful about being able to do things again. You know, sometimes things happen in divine timing. And a lot of what we're seeing now, music-wise, is that, you know, last week we talked about how this country in particular, we like a comeback.
Yes.
You know, we love a comeback story. Mm-hmm. And when we're thinking about musicians and artists, even albums.
Yes.
I want to throw this question out real quick. Is there an artist, group, or album that you believe deserves a second chance?
Oh, that's a great question.
So send your responses to qpointstheshow@gmail.com, or you can drop your responses in the comment section right there. But yeah, you know, like I said, last week's episode, the point was made that unfortunately we treat Black artists and Black music as if it's disposable.
Absolutely.
You know, especially after it reaches a certain age.
Yes. Yes. You know, absolutely do.
Today, it's like we get rid of musicians if they do or say something that we don't like.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that.
So can we criticize Black art like without throwing the baby out with the water, with the bathwater?
That's the important part of this conversation. And I think one of the things we see it a lot with stan culture in this current moment where it's like you can't disagree with something that someone has done without throwing all of it out. I have some exceptions to that. There's some very specific exceptions.
I have
some very specific exceptions, and y'all could probably guess what those who those exceptions are at this point. But I do think it's important. I've stepped in the name of love to their music in the past.
Listen, we believe we could fly and everything.
I used to believe I could fly. So I think that important point of being able to criticize, have disagreements with what folks have done without just tossing it all away is incredibly important, in particular with Black folks, because we see society do that to us, right? We see society. Yeah. White culture and white supremacy takes Black culture and manufactures it and sells it back to us, right? Mm-hmm. And when they're done with that, they will just move on to a new thing. But we really, it's my feeling that we can't do that to each other. We can't,
we shouldn't. Like I said before, we take things like age, you know, especially to our Black women.
We use
age as a means of discriminating against them and saying whether or not we want to see them in a certain light as an artist. Mm-hmm. But listen, last week on June 17th, 77, yes, I said 77-year-old Diana Ross, the boss, announced that she is releasing a new album of original music. It's been 22 years since she released Every Day Is a New Day.
Yep, Every Day Is a New Day. Yeah.
And today, the boss wants to tell all her lifelong friends, fans, thank you. And so here you have the cover art for Thank You, which is a single. It's out now. Mm-hmm. And what do you think of the song, J-Ray?
So I think the song is exactly what she should be doing at this point in her career. I think every day is a new day was the same thing. It's what she should have been doing at that moment. When that album was released, it was music was changing. We still had CDs then. Music was changing. But it's what she should have been doing. I think this is the perfect time to do this and say thanks. You know, she's 77. We saw Tina Turner do it, right? Say thank you to our American fans. I need to go and live the rest of my life, right? So I do think our legends are taking the opportunity to say, you know what? I'm good. I can pass the baton now. Let me say thanks. And if y'all haven't seen it, the music video is just heartwarming because it's Diana in all of her glory through the years on stage, just reaching out to people, and I can see you over there. I see you. Thank you. You know what I'm saying? It's exactly what needs to happen. And if you haven't seen it, check it out.
That same big, wide smile that, you know, I love you. I love you. And you know what? You're absolutely right. I agree with you wholeheartedly. This is the song is age appropriate.
Yep.
It's classic. Yep. From a programming standpoint, you could drop it in any format right now.
Yep.
You could drop it on any format and it will succeed. It will, you know, it's appropriate. I think it's, first of all, it was recorded at her home studio. So you could feel, you can feel the crunch, the love and the crunchiness that is Diana Ross. You know, she's still grand and glamorous, but she's got a little of that kooky auntie that we all like that's funny. So I think it's absolutely wonderful, and I'm really happy about it. So shout out to Diana Ross. Before I forget, though, you know what we're doing this Friday night, June 25th. You better have your Amazon Prime subscription up to date, because if we're going to talk about comebacks, somebody that has had numerous comebacks, setbacks, and has come back and proven herself time and time again, Mary J. Blige, the My Life documentary.
Oh, that's right. Comes out this week.
Comes out Friday night. So if you're talking about somebody who has been through it, and she, you know, still a young woman, but has made such an impact on the game and has, you know, carved her own lane out in this thing that we call black music and the music industry. So I just wanted to give that quick note about Mary and the documentary on Friday night. But yeah, you know, back to Diana Ross, and you mentioned Tina Turner. Mm-hmm. The message to me is that there is no master timeline. You know,
no,
there's no master timeline for all of us to follow at the same time. No. We're not all going to follow the same route. And that's what these artists and this music reflects to me. And again, I told y'all, I'm a serial late bloomer. So I relate to the notion that it doesn't matter what stage in life you are. You can be a conduit for some type of magic, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, especially with life experience. I'm sorry, not to cut you off, Sir Daniel.
No, go ahead.
The experiences that we have, I actually think as we get older, like, your ability to kind of spread magic becomes more pronounced, because you're able to bring all of these youthful these experiences that you had in the past to your perception and your present as an older person. And I feel like you can just sprinkle all kinds of magic on the world as you get older and be able to really impact young folks, because there's so many young people that want folks to look up to. So no, mm-hmm. I believe you're absolutely right. There's no timeline. There's no age for that.
And it's, you know, that kind of thinking sounds real ethereal and otherworldly. When I think about being ethereal and otherworldly, you can't talk about having multiple lives and not talk about Tina Turner.
No, you can't. I mean, if y'all haven't seen that documentary, see it.
Please, you got to see the HBO documentary on Tina Turner. Like, this woman, if we're going to talk about comebacks, right? Mm-hmm. In 1984, Tina Turner was our age. Let's just be real cut. In 1984, when she dropped Private Dancer, she was our age in 84. That's 27. No. And that's after being in the industry for 27 years. Like, she joined Ike Turner's Review in 1957. And it wasn't until 1984 that she hit a major milestone and a major comeback with Private Dancer. Let me just run it down real quick. Mm-hmm. It won in 1985. It won Best Female Rock Performance. 1985, Best Female Pop Performance. Record of the Year, Song of the Year. In the United States alone, the record went 5 times platinum. And in 2020, the album was selected by the Library of Congress for preservation in the National Recording Registry for Cultural Significance. Like, our age, right? You know, when this is a youth-driven culture.
Yep.
At our age, these kids are telling us, you know, y'all need to the left, step to the left, all that stuff you're talking about, that's old, it don't matter. But she was our age when she hit her biggest stride.
Ooh, that's inspirational. That is inspirational. Crazy. And when you think about it, in particular in the documentary, she talks about this, the focus, because once again, she had the experience. She was able to bring all of that experience to the point of, I want to be a rock star now. That's what I want to do. I've been a soul and R&B star. I want to be a rock star now. And I know that I can do it.
Absolutely.
That's experience and age and wisdom and confidence Definitely. In who you are.
That's it. Can you imagine being that record executive that got on the phone and wanted to drop her from Capitol Records before that happened? And then you referred to Queen Tina Turner as an old N-word douchebag.
Absolutely. Like, I love that they put that in there and, you know, kept that history, because that's the type of history that folks want to bury. We need to remember that that's what that white executive said about her. Mm-hmm. And for them to be like, we're going to show you better than we can tell you. But that
exactly.
You know what this is bringing up, Sir Daniel? It is this idea of needing people around you that love and support you through all of this stuff. I love being on this journey with you because I know that we're sharing the same vision about where we want to go. So when you have people in your corner, but you know, it takes you a while to get there. Like, you have to have a lot of experiences where you screw it up. You kind of messing with the wrong folks. It's not the right folks. But when you get that stuff right, man, the people can get on the phone and say something. And then the people in your corner is like, bump that. We got a record to drop. Let's go.
Exactly. They said, no, no, no. But here we got racism, mm-hmm. ageism, and misogyny. They're quite the throuple.
Yes,
they are quite the throuple, and they always seem to pop up together at the same time. It's all the time. You know, and can you imagine? So, like, we learned the ugly truth about Tina Turner's journey decades later, after it happened, right? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if it all happened in real time, like how we watched Mariah Carey? Ooh. Go through her little upward rise and then crash and burn, and it happened all in just real time. It was so real that it happened on TRL.
Yeah,
you're a huge superstar. You just walked
because
in
I'm
our
just
little
regular
show
with
and
the
gave
ice cream truck
ice cream to kids, and they all
you know
love
what?
You.
Ice
great.
Cream is important. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, it's the like, simple things in life we often
the
overlook.
Things. Exactly. Like, you could have drama all day long.
Sure.
Whatever. We all do these things.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But the problem is, if you don't have ice cream in your life, sometimes you just might go a little bit crazy.
And that's a metaphor
I'm not doing
for a lot
that.
More.
Do you guys
I'm
like
sure.
my shirt?
Yes, we love what you're wearing, Mariah.
Okay.
This is what you walked
this is,
in with.
This is Carson's shirt.
Yeah, that's lovely,
me
isn't
and Carson
it?
Carson might, you know, we might do a clothing line or something.
You're right.
So perhaps, like, this could be the start of it.
That, of
it?
Course, would be the girls' division of our clothing line.
Well, a guy could wear this. What's wrong with a guy wearing this?
Sure, sure, sure.
We love all types of people.
This is a woman here who sold, over 140 million records?
I don't
right?
know. All I know is where's the cash, because it ain't in my bank account.
That's
all
crazy.
I know is I'm just trying to, like... I just wanted one day off when I can go swimming and look at rainbows and, like, eat ice cream.
Right, right.
And maybe, like, learn how to ride a bicycle.
Yeah.
It, you know, that was so much fodder. Mm-hmm. It was fodder for months, you know, to the media outlets. Of course, it was SNL had a field day with it. You know, but when you think about what Mariah Carey was going through, She just literally got free from a marriage, a contractual agreement, because the marriage and the contractual agreement were all intertwined.
All one thing.
Because she was married to Tommy Mottola, who was the head of Columbia Records at the time. Mm-hmm. And then, so she's about to have her own full-length theater debut of Glitter.
Mm-hmm.
And the soundtrack album comes out with that.
Yep.
And it bombs.
Yeah.
It's a glitter bomb. It's a glitter bomb, for, you know, lack of a better term. And, like, first of all, confession, I've never seen Glitter.
We have to watch Glitter. I have seen Glitter. I've only seen Glitter once. There's a lot of walking in Glitter. It's a very weird...
But if it's in New York, you know, you're walking a lot in New York, right?
And you're walking a lot in this film. I mean, that time. So watching that clip back today with today's mindset, with today's with my eyes now, you see the lady just, she needed a break. Like it was time for a really long vacation away from the spotlight, away from handlers, away from all of that, just some time away. Cause she talked about it at the very end. Like, I just want some time to go and eat ice cream and look at rainbows. Like, that's real. Like, we all need that. And you could see that that is what she needed at that moment. And at the level she was at, she couldn't get it.
She couldn't get it. Carson, the host of TRL at the time, clearly was completely thrown by her appearance. And he right. was just like, you're one of the biggest stars. Yeah. And I'm pretty certain, you know, you're the host of a show and you got producers and everything, and somebody knew that was going to happen, mm-hmm. but they didn't bother to tell him. So you could tell he was slightly annoyed, mm-hmm. but he can't comprehend the fact that this woman is a mega star, mm-hmm. which is the lens that we watch these people through, right?
Yes.
We can't comprehend that they're just human beings.
Yep.
That are going through a wildly significant experience where more people happen to know who they are.
Yeah.
And they happen to be an artist. So that was what, 2001?
2001. Yep.
So you had a bunch of world experiences happening, including 9/11,
yep.
which I really think somebody needs to talk about what 9/11 did to the music industry.
Ooh.
Because there were a lot of albums that were supposed to come out that year that really kind of suffered because of that whole, we went through a tragedy in this country.
Yep. 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 Yep.
So there's that. Mm-hmm. And then you just, you know, 4 years later though, we get the emancipation of Mimi.
Which is she a came whole back. Bop. It's a whole bop.
From no skips, as the kids like to say, no skips. Like from the first single, mm-hmm. you know, which is, and her teaming back up with Jermaine Dupri, getting with Neptune. Mm-hmm. She had all the right producers yep. come to work with her, mm-hmm. and it paid off.
Yeah.
She felt she was in a whole new deal. She, at this point, she's on what, Def Jam?
I think it was Island yep. Def Jam then. Yep.
Island Def Jam. She's on Island Def Jam. So she's in a completely new deal. She's out of that relationship.
Yep.
So she's able to, I mean, and you could feel it on the songs.
Yes.
The what's the first song? The
Shake It Off was the first single.
Was it the first thing? I thought It's Like That was the first single.
Oh, It's Like That may have been. Oh my God, I forgot. That was a It's My Yeah.
I mean, the song says it. It's like she says, I'm ready to just pour it up.
Yeah.
Pop a couple bubbles. It's like, you know, and have fun.
That was hot.
That album went on to go 6 times platinum. Like if you're talking about a list of comebacks, mm-hmm. they actually have that album on the list of biggest comebacks, music comebacks in the history of music. And We Belong Together went on to win 5 Billboard Music Awards. Yeah. And in 2006, Emancipation got 10 Grammy nominations. She won for Best Contemporary R&B, Best Female R&B Vocal Performance, and Best R&B Song. So I think it's quite safe to say that she recovered from that glitter bomb. Like,
she,
big time.
Well, here's the thing. So she recovered from the glitter bomb, and then that's when the other stuff, I think, because we talked about kind of the thruple of misogyny, ageism, mm-hmm. and, you know, all of that stuff. Because then I think it was the E=MC² era,
mm-hmm.
And the Touch My Body stuff. It got different. So it was interesting coming out of the Emancipation of Mimi into kind of the next phase of it. What I love is this, though. What I love is her talent always shines through. And that's the thing to remember. With all of these folks, we talked about Diana Ross, you know, the talent.
Mary
J. Blige, like, there's always these moments where you like, that's why they are who they are. That's exactly why they are who they are. Even Mariah doing the GTFO, which I thought was dope. I was like,
I thought it was hilarious. One thing Mariah has is a sense of humor. She's being dead ass, but she has a sense of humor about it, and I appreciate that about her.
Yep.
She's a A1 shit talker.
Yes, you can bleep she was that, on our first our first two shows with tweets. Like they had Mariah Carey.
Yeah, Mariah Carey memes, all of that stuff. I love. I think I'm an undercover lamb.
Right. You're probably not an undercover lamb. You're probably just like a lamb.
You know, I don't subscribe to many fandoms, but you know, if I'm out record shopping and I see a Mariah Carey 12-inch, I'm definitely grabbing that.
Smart.
Because it's just, you know, it's just something definitely to have, and it's classic. She does not fail with the classic materials, and I think, like you said, the talent is undeniable, mm-hmm. and so undeniable that Mariah Carey, through her whole career, she was always tethered to Whitney Houston.
Ooh,
you know?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
There was always a tethering with Whitney Houston. Unfortunately, if we're talking about comebacks, we can't talk about comebacks and not talk about and how people did not get the comeback that they deserved. Or did not get the reception that they deserve. And unfortunately, Whitney Houston did not get the kind of reception that Mariah got when she came out with the album, I Look to You. And, you know, like, that's Whitney after 14 years of marriage with Bobby.
Yeah.
You know, the drug abuse, which we know was true.
Absolutely.
And just the different changes, the different relationship changes that she was going through. The industry is changing. And, you know, August 2009, I Look to You was, we didn't know it then, but that was the last album that we would ever receive from Whitney Elizabeth Houston. I mean, it went on to sell 2.5 million copies worldwide and earn her fourth Billboard chart debut, mm-hmm. which allowed her to stay, you know, to keep that title of, you know, female artist with the most number ones. Billboard number ones. Remember the 2-day Oprah Winfrey event? It still didn't move the way that previous projects moved. You know, everything else was iconic. Ran, you know, there was nowhere you could go without not hearing My Love Is Your Love or the Bodyguard soundtrack. But it just didn't happen this time. And so do you think it was because we became exposed to the real Whitney Houston based on her appearances on Being Bobby Brown and, you know, the tabloid scandals that we no longer had that image to subscribe to? Or was it that the music just wasn't up to par or just wasn't, you know, what we needed?
I am really curious about, for folks that are watching, what you think. My opinion always was that Whitney needed to figure out how to use her voice differently. And I knew that coming out of the Jess Whitney stuff and then, of course, all of the rumors that were going around, my thought was always, why isn't Whitney trying to do something different with her voice? Like, why is she not using her voice in another way? Because her voice, you knew that she couldn't do what she was doing in 1992. It wasn't physically possible. I firmly believe that if she had figured out how to do those songs a different way, use her voice in a different way, because her lower register was hot. Like Whitney's lower register was incredibly, it was rich and it was something that she could have used. But I think we wanted her to do I Look to You, you know, I Look to You and do these like belty ballads. The reason why I think Million Dollar Bill worked is because it didn't require all that. Like it was like, I don't need you to go there, girl. I need you to stay right here in this middle and this low. You don't need to do all of this extra like hooping and hollering.
And let the groove do the work for you.
Let the groove do the work. baby, Whitney Houston, we know you can sing. We also know that that voice isn't going to be able to do what it did. So how about you do what you can do right now and make it hot? So I just think that at that time, the production, I don't think, it's not that the music wasn't necessarily up to par. I just don't think it was suited to where she was at that time. And people wanted her to be 1992 Whitney, or even 1997 My Love Is Your Love Whitney, and that wasn't who she was going to be able to be.
No. Again, it's us.
It's us. I think if it's we let Whitney, she shouldn't have gone out on tour. Like the tour, I know why she went out on tour, because that's the way she needed to make some money. She needed to make some money. But baby, listen, you don't gotta do arenas, boo. Do medium-sized venues, smaller footprint, rework the heck out of them songs, do a jazz set, girl. Like, do something else that requires you to play with that voice a little bit differently. Yeah, it's not going to be the same thing. I truly, truly believe that she was set up wrong for that whole situation. And yeah. I think it affected her. Like, I really think it affected her. And we probably would be having a different conversation today had different decisions have been made around that album and that tour and the way that she was kind of being put back out there at that moment.
Yeah. Like I said, preparing for this particular episode, you know, when you look back on the clips and you look back on what was happening and how, you know, this was a last ditch effort and everybody had so much, there was so much promise. There was so much.
There was a movie. You remember the movie was coming out?
Yeah. The
was it
given Sparkle was coming out. So there were all these vehicles that were set up for her. Unfortunately, you know, we were just on social media has just started taking over.
Yep.
You know? And it just was a hard time, I guess, emotionally for her. Mm-hmm. And it just did not didn't end well. I mean, that was the last full project that we ever got from her.
Yeah.
And you know, again, like, you know, I said, social media changed everything. It changed. I'll never forget the night that I found out that she died was via social media, was on Twitter, and how, you know, of course, Black Twitter, you know, that news spreads like wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
And social media, without a doubt, has changed the way, you know, we receive news. It changed the way we receive music.
Mm-hmm.
And it removed barriers between us and the artists.
Right.
And so, which opened up the artists to criticism.
Yes.
And now we have what is called cancel culture.
Yes, we have to talk about cancel culture. We have to.
Let me say this. Black people coined, like everything else, we came up with it.
Of course.
We coined cancel culture. And in my opinion, I saw cancel culture as a way of public figures being held accountable for their actions. That's how I saw it.
That's how I see it as well. I do think that the way social media sometimes gets used, and in particular, like what I term as stan culture, mm-hmm. does raise the issue that sometimes the allegation is the evidence. Like, and therefore, because somebody said that it happened, it should be, this person needs to be X'd out of everything. There are occasions that I think that that is true. And we've talked about one of them earlier. I mean, I used to bump and grind.
I mean, in the words of Iyanla, let's call a thing a thing.
Let's call a thing a thing.
You know, R. Kelly is no different. Like, he pretty much, he got the backlash.
Yeah.
But he got the backlash for well-documented behavior. It would be different if,
yes,
you know, none of that stuff, you know, was true, mm-hmm. or there weren't facts and receipts.
We had so many receipts. We had like 30 years of receipts.
So many receipts and people who came forward and said, you know, well, I did kind of turn an eye to what was going on. So I'm not going to ask whether or not he deserves a second chance, because I can already tell you it's coming. Ask me how.
How?
I have, so in, you know, in circles I'm floating and I'm hearing other DJs saying, you know, they've heard R. Kelly songs being played again at parties.
Oh, okay. Listen, y'all. Okay. Listen.
It's happening. Okay, Record Store Day, R. Kelly music is selling again. I kid you not. It is selling again. So now we're here at a double standard again. You know, because this gentleman, if we look at R. Kelly, we also got to look at Chris Brown, who was just recently in the news again for the same thing, you know, for alleged, you know, domestic violence against a black woman. And so, but, you know, people love to say, well, he's just, that's a, you know, he's a troubled young man. He just needs some time. And we make up all these excuses and want to give people other chances, but black women, we have a double standard for them.
And you know what? This is where I'm so glad we're having this conversation, because we don't extend that same grace to black women. There are so many times we talked about on the show last week. Drew Hill could like fight in a studio. They could like fight in a studio and still nobody wants to talk about that. But two members get replaced in a group and it's like this person's evil or something like that. Exactly. So, yeah, man, we have work to do. So we have seen black women. There's only one person that we have CB canceled. And I think we need to have that conversation. There's the one person I can think of. Every time we talk about cancel culture, there's one person who I can say like, oh, I do think they were actually canceled.
And if I'm thinking about the same person you're thinking about, which we are, you know, there was that awful time in history about 4 or 5 years ago when I'm not even going to refer to him by name, but the 45th elected official.
Thank you for that. I like that. That was great.
he was going around collecting black celebrities, you know, so he can, you know, like
they were his
like,
blacks. He was collecting. They were his blacks.
He was collecting Pokemons. He was collecting them like Pokemons to give the optics that he doesn't have a racist bone in his body. And you know, one such celebrity that kind of got caught up in that and was Chrisette Michele.
Yeah.
You know,
we are talking about, if there is one person who truly, I mean, I definitely think that we eventually got to R. Kelly after the documentary came out.
Yeah.
Chrisette Michele was canceled before R. Kelly though. Like Chrisette Michele got canceled.
All she did was sing a song and not by herself, I might add.
Ooh, can we talk about this? We got to talk about this. All right, hold on.
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
It was the wrong thing to do. I've never said it publicly.
What was the call like? Did they go through the pros and cons of it with you?
Oh, no, it wasn't that kind of a thing.
What kind of, how
it
did
was,
it?
What are you doing on whatever day that was?
Yeah.
January 17th. What are you doing? We have an offer. It was very simple.
Some say you did it for the money. Did you get a big old fat check for it?
I get checks all the time.
Yeah.
So that's a very normal part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
No, I did not do it for the money. I think Wendy Williams quoted $750,000. That was on the cover of a big newspaper in New York. And I was like, wow, that would have been really awesome.
It was nowhere near that.
No.
Where did that number come from?
I don't know. My question has always been, what was Travis Greene's intention? I just want to know. Because his album became number one.
Wow. Woo.
That's just one question. No, because there's several. That's antagonistic. Yeah. And I'm not very antagonistic.
No, I get it. I get it.
Because blaming on me is my jam. I meant show that. Song. It's like, you know what, girl?
Yeah.
Learn.
Yeah.
From that.
Totally.
But the question I've never said out loud was,
yeah,
what was Travis Green's intention?
And that...
Were we singing his song?
Mm-hmm.
Did he start the first verse?
Mm.
Was I singing back up with a choir that still sings to this day?
Mm.
I just want to know why no one saw them.
And I need the explanation for that. I really need...
So listen.
Shout out to Terrell Grice and the Terrell Show for giving Chrisette that platform, because she deserved that. Mm-hmm. She deserved that opportunity to clear it up. Because first of all, who is Travis Green? I didn't know who Travis Green was, sir, until they brought that up.
Sir Daniel, I was literally watching that and I had to Google that performance. Because, child, you know I wasn't going to watch it, right? So I didn't really watch the thing. I went and I looked and I'm like, there's literally a whole stage of black people. I literally, in my mind, was like, Chrisette Michelle was up there by her lonesome with that Basquiat dress on and a band. And I'm like, baby, it is a gospel choir and somebody leading things. She is not alone. I did not know that.
And apparently, did y'all know that? Because apparently Travis Green, his record sales quadrupled after that. Like, she literally took all of the smoke for that whole incident. And there was a state, like Jay Ray said, there was a stage full of people there besides her. Now, maybe to her credit, she was the bigger name. Maybe, you know, well, let's blame it on that. Right. Blame it, you know, like she said, blame it on me. Let's give that. But there are other people, again, we tend to put those bullseyes on black women's backs.
Yo, like that right there, and not until this show that I think of Janet and Justin.
Do not mention him. No, I'm just playing.
No, but word up. Like, I did not think of the parallels between, and for her standing there, like, I promise y'all, until I watched that, was like, who is she talking about? And then I typed in the name, Travis Green and Chrisette Michelle, on the YouTube. And I'm like, she was literally there with a whole black man singing.
Yep.
And she was like, his record hit number one after that.
Mm-hmm.
Why? So my question is... Why did we do that to her? Why did we allow it to happen? And why did we do it? And I get there is this disdain for the inauguration and what was happening at that time. I get that. My question is, I'm glad at this time I'm learning more grace, and we need to have more grace for folks. Because that just doesn't sit well with me now in retrospect. Because I was one of the ones to be like, she should have done that and da-da-da-do and whatever. And you know what I'm saying? And this is ridiculous and you know, whatever. And then I'm looking at the stage like, we did her dirty.
We did her dirty. Absolutely. We absolutely did. And like you said, I'm going to say this for everybody out there watching. You are going to have to extend people grace and mercy, because at some point, someone is going to have to extend that same grace and mercy to you.
And when we're talking about that, we're specifically talking about like these social media just draggings that go crazy. And no, you're absolutely right. We see it happen all the time on social media. The rival of your fave, y'all are dragging through the mud and doing like crazy stuff too.
Getting death threats
and doing, baby, no. If we, hopefully we can learn something from the Chrisette Michelle experience. Because I look back on that Yes. I mean, could she have made a different decision? Sure. She didn't make a different decision. But what I know for sure is, what we now know for sure, she wasn't the only one up there.
She was
Why
not
did
the
she
only
have to be the one that bears the brunt? Was it because she decided that she wanted to defend her stance or whatever? I don't know what this other guy said. Has anybody ever asked him? I have no idea.
I legit don't know who that. In the words of Kiki Palmer, sorry to this man, but I don't know who he is. I never heard of him until today. And you know what? And that's probably best.
That's probably best.
At least we still know who Chrisette Michelle is. Mm-hmm. And hopefully she'll use that this opportunity, and we give her this opportunity to have a second chance. Yes. I know one person who's not getting a second chance, though. Trick Daddy. Trick Daddy ain't getting a second chance.
Poor Trick Daddy. Like, Trick, you shouldn't have said, listen, I get it, bro. You wanted to get people riled up. That wasn't the thing. That wasn't the thing to do.
So you know what Trick Daddy could have done? Trick Daddy, what do I always say? Kids, in life, you have a choice. You can either pick up the needle or you can let the record play.
Peace, everybody.
Thanks for watching Q Points. We'll see you next week.